The United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit is now open and in session. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Our first case for argument today is 21-1866, Sanchez versus HHS. Ms. Rockmore, please proceed.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much. If it pleases the court, by way of history, I was standing here almost 2 years ago on appeal on a major issue where there was a fact that was unsubstantiated by the evidentiary record, that being that the arm contortions that occurred with the child approximately 11 days after the vaccine was consistent with a cold. This was one of the issues on remand. We're here today. Petitioner submits yet again that a new unsubstantiated fact that permeates the entirety of the remand decision denying entitlement, that being that the arm contortions were now only a one-time event or an isolated event or words to that effect. This new finding is definitely not in the medical records, as the medical records are contrary and indicate that the arm contortions lasted for over a month and several times a day. This unsubstantiated fact is not in the expert report. It's not in the testimony of the family. It's not in the fact findings. And it's not in the first decision denying entitlement. And even though this was a primary issue of this current appeal, as far as I can tell, respondent has failed to show where the evidentiary record indicates that the arm contortions were a one-time event. I think there's a good reason. I think they cannot. So pursuant to this very court in Palak, when findings are not based on relevant evidence of record, are not drawn upon reasonable inferences, we believe that this decision ought to be reversed. What the medical records actually indicate, as I already stated, is that after that one night of the arm contortions continued up 10 times a day, 1 to 2 minutes at a time, for about a month.
Excuse me, Ms. Rockmore, this is Judge Bryson. Now, when you say the medical records indicated that, are you referring to the records that several years later, or at least starting, I guess, some months later, in which the physicians were reciting the history of the patient's condition based on the parents' reports to the physicians? Or are you referring to the medical records that occurred during the several-month period after the vaccination?
There was a pediatric neurologist, Dr. Friedman, that took a history to which pediatric neurologists are trained to take histories, and yes, it was from the parents.
Right, but that those histories, Dr. Haas, Dr. Friedman, and I guess there were a couple of other doctors, those were all based on the parents' report of the events that occurred between February and May of 2009. Isn't that right?
Yes, it's the history that was provided by the parents. There would be no one else to be able to provide that history, and these particular doctors are very well trained to take an accurate history. There was also indication 6 months after the vaccine in August of 2009 where the notes indicate that the child's extremities were soft yet rigid at times, and then another indication 9 months after the vaccine by Dr. Michelson that the right arm would be stiffened behind himself episodically. I emphasize the word episodically because to me that means it's happening episodically, you know, more than one time. Also, I would point to the testimony of the family, especially Mr. Sanchez, who indicated that from the time the child was taken to urgent care in February of 2009 and then the next visit in April of 2009, the testimony was that the child continued to have these contortion-type behaviors. He continued to have them a few times a day, sometimes a couple times a day. And so between February and April, the testimony is that he continued to have these contortions.
This is Judge Dyke. The special master didn't really address that February to April period after the initial arm movement event in the current decision, but in his earlier decision, he did address that and made a finding on page 686 of the record that did not exhibit arm contortions in that February to April period except the one event. And then on page 683, he gives the reasons for that conclusion. And one of them is that there weren't any contemporaneous medical records. And I understand your point about the Kirby case in that connection. But then he also, in the middle of 683, talks about the faultiness of the witness's recollections. And so much of the testimony about the arm movements is by Mr. Sanchez, the father. Do you know, and I couldn't find in the record, what this testimony was at 174, where the special master seems to find that Mr. Sanchez testified inaccurately in other respects. Can you help me on that?
I don't know where Mr. Sanchez would have testified inaccurately.
Well, he seems to make such a finding. Repeated attribution of unrealistic abilities to Tristan, and then cites page 174 of the transcript.
Of the fact transcript?
Because yeah. We can't access that page because the record is confidential.
I'm just trying to see if I can quickly find. We were talking about what his experience with newborn babies.
He says, the special master says, for example, three witnesses said Tristan could hold up his head at birth, and then cites Mr. Sanchez at 174. And this is apparently one of his reasons for rejecting this testimony about the arm movements continuing after the February episode.
Well, yes, there was testimony about Tristan being very strong and that he could hold his head. I think part of when we were at the fact hearing and the decision after that was that based on the testimony of all the families, there was a finding that the arm contortions didn't happen at all until, I think, August of 2009. And then that determination changed, and it appears that the credibility of Mr. Sanchez was not as much in question, because there's a number of, we're relying on his affidavit now. There was testimony that I believe was relied on.
Your point is that he ultimately believed Mr. Sanchez about February, but not about the period after February, which is inconsistent, right?
He did find that it was correct, that the arm contortions occurred. I'm not sure that there's any credibility issue in between the time of February and when he supposedly lost his milestone. Where this one-time event happened, I don't know where that is in the record. I can't find it.
And counsel, Ms. Rockmore, Judge Dyke was referring you to page 686, which is where he had the special master had these fact findings, but then the ultimate opinion, which is, you know, where we found the inconsistency, is at 2297. And in that opinion, the special master concluded that Tristan did have arm contortions on in February. Is that correct? Am I remembering this right?
He did find that the arm contortions occurred in February. And in the first decision, he also found that that was consistent with the cold, which there was nothing in the evidentiary record to support consistent with the cold.
He's not making that finding now. I didn't see anything in the current decision about being consistent with a cold.
Correct. So now it has changed. In order to make the arm contortions not a neurological event, it was now found that it was an isolated event and therefore, in the special master's opinion, not a neurological event. But petitioner contends the medical records, the testimony, the prior fact findings are not consistent with that new finding.
Ms. Rockmore, this is Judge Moore again. Can you look on page 99 of the appendix? This is where the special master, in his present opinion, is dealing with the arm contortions and the inconsistency between his conclusion that they did occur on February 15th of 2009 and whether they constitute neurological abnormality versus part of the common cold. It's a little bit confusing to me. He did previously suggest all these symptoms were consistent with the cold, but no expert testified to that, as you said. But then now we look at page 99, his current opinion, and it indicates the arm contortions are consistent with an uncomfortably ill child. So I'm not sure what that means. What does it mean, an uncomfortably ill child? What would be the underlying illness that would cause the arm contortions on that time?
This one did have a cold.
Yes, but it seems as though the special master has gone out of his way, in this opinion, not to attribute arm contortions to the common cold, which seems like a smart decision because I would find that quite odd indeed. As I'm not a medical doctor, but I have had many colds in my life and have witnessed many children with colds, and arm contortions don't seem consistent with a cold. And so the special master went out of his way not to make that conclusion in this opinion. So what could it be if not the neurological deterioration that Tristan later experienced? What could it be if not that? What does this record allow us to conclude?
Well, as you point out, what could it be? We contend it's a neurological event. Even the experts for petitioners said that it's certainly not something that, especially how it's described, it's not something that a child does in their thick or fussy necessarily.
One difficulty I have on page 99, the only thing that the special master cites for this concept that arm contortions are consistent with an uncomfortably ill child is Dr. Raymond's testimony, and he cites trial transcript at 863 and 874, and again, we don't have those in the appendix. Those weren't provided to us. Do you have any knowledge of what those pages do, in fact, indicate?
I'm sorry?
On page 99, the only thing the special master cites in support of his conclusion that the arm contortions are consistent with an uncomfortably ill child but somehow not a neurological event is Dr. Raymond's testimony, and he cites in particular trial transcript page 863 and 874. I'm indicating to you that we don't have those pages. You did not provide them to us in the appendix. Do you have any idea what's on those pages?
As I'm sitting here, no. But I also know that Dr. Raymond did not feel that the holds or inspections, he thought they were less likely to be the cause of delays versus his SDHA mutation as being the sole cause.
Okay, well, let's hear from the government, and we'll restore your rebuttal time.
Thank you.
Ms. Perlman, please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Unfortunately, there are pages obviously missing from the appendix, but I would ask that you look at appendix at 2737, which happens to be Dr. Raymond's expert report that was filed prior to the hearing, where he talks about the fact that the arms contortions is consistent with an uncomfortably ill child who is tired and does not want to be held. Dr. Raymond's testimony was, he focused on all of the evidence in the record, and one of the main things he focused on is that if these contortions were a neurologic condition, whether it's dystonia or seizures or whatever, that was in fact related to the Leigh syndrome, they would have been ongoing and persistent. That is
okay.
How this...
But the problem that you have is that the father and the family testified that they were persistent, and it's not clear why that testimony is being rejected. The special master in the current decision doesn't say anything about that, if I recall correctly, but his earlier decision does reject that testimony. At the same time, he rejected their testimony about the February event. So now he's believing them about the February event, but apparently not about the post-February event. I don't understand how that's consistent.
Well, we have evidence from three separate providers on three separate occasions. These are trained professionals who know how to look, take medical histories and look at young children, babies, who cannot express
themselves. You're not addressing my question. How is it that the special master could believe the family about February but disbelieve them about post-February?
That is his right. He looked at the records as a whole.
There's no explanation as to why their testimony about February is credible, but the later testimony isn't.
Well, I will say that this time period we're speaking of, which is after February 16th, was outside the scope of the mandate. So I don't know why the special master would have focused on that here. In our view and in the view of the Court of Federal Claims, the finding that there were no neurologic symptoms in between February 16th and at the earliest May 1st cannot be challenged. The panel before this carefully listened to it and didn't find any problems with the special master's findings. So we would submit that the findings...
wasn't addressed in the earlier decision, was it?
The period between February 16th and May?
Right.
It was. He said in both his 2018...
No, in our decision. That wasn't addressed in our decision, right?
Correct. Well, Correct, but that was because it was beyond the scope of the mandate. The special master was focusing on what the court had...
Let's assume we don't have a mandate problem. How is it that he could rely on the family testimony to find that there was an arm contortion in February, but reject their testimony that continued thereafter?
That happens all the time, Your Honor. Sometimes there are certain facts that the special master finds supported, and sometimes they find them not supported. I don't think
we have no decision by the special master telling us why they're credible as to February, but not credible thereafter.
Again, the fact ruling, he explains why it was that he does not find that testimony credible. And a large portion of it is the contemporaneous medical records. These are doctors who took the histories and no arm contortions were recorded.
The problem is the same thing's true about the February event.
Your Honor, I don't know why the fact changed in the 2018 decision, but that is the only thing that changed. The fact ruling is very clear that there were no arm contortions after that 2 to 3 hour period, and Dr. Raymond cogently explained that it's perfectly consistent with a child who's uncomfortable, he's ill, he's thrashing around, he does not want to be held.
When you said it's consistent with a child who's ill, couldn't the illness be from a neurological event as opposed to just the common cold? Because I don't see Dr. Raymond testifying that arm contortions are consistent with the common cold. We have a child who has two conditions, right? And in February, he's got arm contortions and he's got a common cold. What I don't see is any testimony that arm contortions are consistent with a common cold. Is there some that I'm missing?
No, but that was not the special master's finding. Obviously, the case was remanded to get this evidence because our experts were not permitted to opine on it in the first instance. And what Dr. Raymond said is viewing the evidence is that it's consistent with an uncomfortably ill child who is tired and does not want to be held.
Dr. Raymond did not testify arm contortions are consistent with a common cold.
Correct.
And so there's no testimony to support that. So we have a fact finding that there are arm contortions in February, quite timely following the vaccination. What are arm contortions if not a neurological event?
A child who is thrashing around his parents' arms. There's no testimony. There is no evidence given.
No, counsel, there is testimony. Yes. Dr. Raymond testified that it's a sign of an uncomfortably ill child.
Right.
He didn't attribute it to the child's cold. So the other optional illness that it could be attributed to is Leigh's syndrome, correct?
No. With all due respect, Your Honor, no, because if it were a neurologic condition consistent with Leigh syndrome, it would not have been a one-time event for 2 to 3 hours several months before it ever reappeared again. That is completely not supported by the literature, and Dr. Raymond explained very clearly how it could not be dystonia, how it could not be seizures. If it were, then it would have been ongoing and obvious. And it would have been obvious because the petitioners, who are clearly loving, caring, attentive parents, would have reported it. And it would have been obvious because three different medical providers evaluated Tristan during this period, and they all said that he had a cold or otitis media or some other viral illness.
Why don't you take me to one of the medical records that didn't report it that you think I should look at and sort of accept that the failure to report it is indicative of it not having happened, contrary to the parents' claim? Like, how about I take you to one? Why don't we look at page 216?
Yeah.
So it seems like on February 17th of 2009, the child's parents took him to an urgent care. Is that right? Is that what I'm looking at on page 216 of the record?
It's an urgent care visit. I'm not sure if that means that it was an urgent care visit with his pediatrician or some other provider.
Okay. Well, in any event, it says provider is Jonathan Luna. So who is Jonathan Luna?
He's a physician's assistant.
Okay. So we've got a PA at an urgent care visit who, is there any evidence on this record that this PA is reporting or reporting anything at all on this record that the parents relayed to him that day?
The history of present illness comes from the parents.
Wait,
and it says fever. Sorry, this is on 217.
Oh, page 217. Yeah, that's page 217. Okay. History of present illness. How do you know that comes from the parents? I didn't see
that always. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to speak over you, Your Honor.
I didn't see any testimony that came from the parents. Is there testimony in this record? Because I saw none, and I've read every friggin' page that you gave us. So is there testimony somewhere in this record that the history of present illness is what is reported to this physician by the parent as opposed to what he is observing?
That is always what the history of present illness is.
So I should accept your testimony on this record?
No, and I don't know that we have testimony on it, but I've looked at a lot of records and I've spoken to a lot of doctors, and the history of present illness, my understanding has always been that is what the child is presenting with. And if you want to go
just
to the next...
Just out of curiosity, counsel?
Yes.
Page 217, you're saying the history of present illness is what the parents report.
Correct.
You know, I'm a pretty sophisticated parent. What the heck is hemoptysis? Do you know? So what do you think the chances are that Sanchez reported to this physician that their child did not have hemoptysis?
Well, if it's vomiting, which it may be, then he might have just used different words.
Did you just look at it?
No, I did not.
Did someone tell it to you?
No. I'm not a doctor, though. I'm not medically trained.
Well, neither are the Sanchez's, right?
Correct.
Okay, so what dyspnea? That's something else that Sanchez is, according to you, reported. Dyspnea. What do you think that is?
I do not know.
Yeah, me neither. It seems really unlikely to me that the history of present illness is some sort of account of exactly what the parents relayed, because, number one, there's nothing in the record that says that, and number two, you and I are probably both pretty well-versed in this record, and neither of us have any clue what any of those terms mean. So that seems unlikely to be a recounting of what the parents relayed, or at least there's no evidence that it is. So that's my problem. My problem with these notes, where you want us to accept that the notes are inconsistent with the testimony by virtue of their silence, is I don't see anything in the notes that purports to be what the parents reported to the doctors at these urgent care visits, at least not to this PA. Am I missing?
It would not. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
It would have been obvious on exam anyway, because one of these times, whether it was on February 17th or on April 29th or on and April 29th, there is a discussion about a 2-week history of. Let me find it.
You said something would have been obvious on exam. What?
Correct.
Arm contortions would have been obvious on the exam by the PA on February 17th?
A neurologic problem, if it were ongoing, yes.
Wait, so you don't think these can be episodic?
I think they can be episodic, but to have 3 months without anyone reporting anything,
the parents say they reported it consistently during that period. So what do you mean without anyone reporting anything? Who is the anyone in your sentence?
The special master did not credit that testimony, Your Honor. The special master... I'm sorry.
There was no contrary testimony.
But the testimony was given years later, and he credited the medical records. He also credited when they presented in August.
Well, counsel, you said the testimony was given years later, but really as early as, I believe it's August of 2009, isn't there? When is the earliest medical record that reports the parents' claims about the arm contortions? Where is the earliest medical record that reports that? What is it?
I believe it's in the fall. I believe it's in November with Dr. Michelson, and does not report it back to happening back in February.
What is it? Well, which can you tell me what page of the appendix I could find that?
Sure. Hang on 1 second. Page 308. Wait, I might be.
On November 12th of 2009.
Correct.
he previously held his right arm stiffly behind him episodically.
Right.
So that is the parent reporting. So you said a few minutes ago that it wasn't reported until years later. That's not correct, right? Because this report is in 2009.
Okay. I misspoke, and I apologize for that. I meant months later. And we have no question that the movement, dystonic movements and the hypotonia, which is the usual presenting symptom of dystonia, happened in August. So saying it happened episodically, just in general, does not mean it happened 8 months earlier.
We actually know it happened 8 months earlier because the special master found so. It happened at least once 8 months earlier, right?
Yes, but again, it was our expert's testimony that the special master credited, as is his job, who said that was not a symptom of Leigh syndrome, whereas the later...
That's right. It was the symptom of an uncomfortably ill child with an undisclosed or undiagnosed illness?
No, he had a cold. I don't think there's any question that he was ill. He had a high fever, which is related to
the cold. Didn't Dr. Raymond, in his second report, tie the monoclonal jerks, or what was asserted to be monoclonal jerks, to a viral upper respiratory infection, i.e. a cold? I'm looking at page 1101 of the appendix, the last sentence at the bottom.
Yes, I believe that is correct.
So it was identified as a cold at one point, at least by Dr. Raymond. That was related to, in Dr. Raymond's view at least, the jerking action.
Right. Yes. Cold and upper respiratory infection, I think, are used interchangeably throughout the record. I know my time is up. Special Master, Your Honors, I would just urge you to apply the correct standard of review, which is arbitrary and capricious, and we firmly believe that the Special Master had a lot of evidence to support his finding that these movements on this particular night for this short period of time were not neurologic in nature. And
what is that evidence? What is a lot of evidence?
Sure. The contemporaneous records, which we already discussed,
the early silent records or the later ones starting in November that actually report earlier arm contortions? Which one?
No, the contemporaneous records that take down what was being reported and what was being viewed different medical providers.
You and I just went through and we agreed that there's no record evidence that anything in those records is what was reported by the parents. We just went through that. There's no testimony.
Those records
contained what was reported to the doctors by the parents, correct?
Yes, but it also, we believe, and Dr. Raymond testified, and Dr. McGady testified as well, these records would have reflected, if these were symptoms of a neurologic condition, they would have been persistent and obvious. They would have been reported. Three doctors blowing off reports of something serious, like that could be interpreted as a seizure, it's really hard to fathom that these staff who are trained to take medical histories, all three of them would have missed that. But again, Dr. Raymond is board certified in pediatrics and neurology, and he reviewed the records and he did not believe it was consistent with a neurologic condition. That in and of itself is a finding that should be credited under the highly deferential standard of review.
Can I ask something? When do you believe the record supports the idea that the arm contortions reoccurred? I mean, they at least occurred in February on one occasion. When do you believe the record supports the idea that they started reoccurring?
In August.
Okay. And in August, does the government believe that in August those arm contortions were the result of a common cold?
No, that was the result of the Leigh syndrome manifesting itself, which makes sense. That is perfectly consistent with what we know about Leigh syndrome and perfectly consistent with what we know about Tristan's genetic condition, which, of course, was the completely independent finding of the special master as to why petitioners, so, unfortunately, can't prevail.
Just to make sure I understand, what we know about Leigh's syndrome is that arm contortions are one thing that's consistent with it. Is that correct?
I wouldn't say arm contortions in particular. Dystonia is consistent with it, although it is not usually a presenting symptom, as Dr. Simon, I believe, testified. It usually comes later. It's usually hypotonia is the first motor symptom, and Tristan exhibited that in August.
So these neurological motor-type symptoms are symptoms of Leigh's disease. Is that correct?
They can be, yes. And that's what it was here. But again, once they start, they're not absent for months at a time. And there was testimony, the special master did not decide that the case on it, but there's testimony that Dr. Steinman admitted that the basal ganglia isn't fully developed and demyelination can't occur to form these dystonic movements at age 6 months. It would have been happening later on. So there's a question about that.
But he made a finding that it did occur in February, and based on the parents' testimony that happened, and then all of a sudden, when the parents testify that it also occurred after February, he rejects the testimony. But there's no explanation as to why he accepts it for February but rejects it for later.
He, I think, explained it in his fact ruling back in 2013.
No, he did not. At that time, he said that it didn't occur at all and rejected it, that it occurred in February and rejected that it occurred in March and April. So it was consistent back then. But, of course, it was inconsistent with another finding he made elsewhere. But in this earlier ruling, he said it didn't occur in February, it didn't occur in March and April. And then later on, he says, oh, well, yes, it did occur in February, relying on the family testimony, but it didn't occur in March and April. That's totally inconsistent.
But that is within his right to make a finding that at this particular time, I'm going to credit this fact, but not that fact.
Yeah, but he has to give a reason for crediting them in February, but rejecting the testimony from April and March.
And again, that's the contemporaneous medical record.
There was no contemporaneous medical record of the February episode either.
No, but he was seen by medical professionals on three occasions between February and May, and none of them reflect any complaints or observation of a neurologic condition.
In any event, in our earlier decision, we said there's no expert testimony that found this to be the result of a cult, the arm contortions. So that's binding on us now, right?
Yes.
Okay, hearing no further questions, I thank the government counsel. Ms. Rockmore, I'll restore your rebuttal time.
Thank you. Are we ready for me to respond?
Yes, please proceed.
Okay, thank you very much. Addressing the issue of what was sent back to the special master, I believe that after the finding that the arm contortions occurred, but it was not consistent with the cold, that this court sent it back to have the special master address what the arm contortions meant for the totality of the case. I agree that the special master did not address all of the prior evidence. I don't think he went back and took a look and tied the testimony and the later medical records by very trained pediatric neurologists who are trained to take these histories from the parents in order to come to his next unsubstantiated conclusion that this was an isolated event. I don't think the evidence bears that conclusion out. And I agree that there is no explanation of why the parents are believed, specifically even Mr. Sanchez, why they are believed for now that February event, but not post-February. And to just say that is his right, it's not an unfettered right. It needs to be reasonable. It needs to be based on the totality of the evidentiary record, and I don't see that here. And is it beyond the mandate for him to take a look at the entirety of the record? I would have to disagree that I believe this court instructed him to go back and take a look and address prong two and prong three based on his new finding that the arm contortions actually occurred. And this whole whether or not it's consistent with an uncomfortable child, although Dr. Raymond did testify to that, there was no literature to support that testimony. But there is literature to support that the arm contortions are consistent with dystonic posturing, which is consistent with legs. So we do have medical record evidence that the arm contortions occurred for at least another month and on a number of occasions each day. We have testimony that specifically 10 years before this new finding, so it can't be just manufactured. The testimony occurred back in 10 years. So this testimony, I believe, ought to be credited. And I don't believe the fact ruling, which, you know, we have kind of follow the bouncing ball, is, you know, it doesn't deal with this being an isolated event. So when you look at the totality of the record, these arm contortions occurred for more than a month. So we believe that this new finding is unreasonable, not supported by the record, and it ought to be reversed. If you have any further questions, I'm happy to respond.
Thank you, counsel. This case is taken under submission. I thank both lawyers.
Thank you.